March 17th, 1992. I'm with Merle Douglas.
Okay.
You're a senior, you say, huh?
Yep, last semester, finally.
Where is your home?
I live in Chula Vista. My mom, I live out by state, San Diego State now, but when I was younger, I lived out right, you know where Bonita is?
Oh, yeah.
That's right where I live, right out there.
I have a sister living in Chula Vista, and I have for years, so I know the area somewhat, and I had a friend of mine living out in Bonita for a while.
Yeah, I really like the area.
Yeah, it is a nice area.
Did you graduate in 1931?
31.
What did you think of the change, the university, the changing of the location?
Well, it's, of course, the size of it is what, you know, just amazes you. When I went out there, I only went out one semester to the new campus, you see. We moved out in December of 30-31. I had gone down to the old campus for a year and a half at Park Boulevard and in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
I said, we moved out for Christmas vacation of 1930, so I attended one semester out there. I was in the first graduating class.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you like, it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
It wasn't anything out there, you know, really. In fact, they hired a bunch of students to move the college out there. All the books in the library, furniture, desks and everything, and we were hauling them in big trucks, and they had a tractor out there to pull it out. We got stuck almost every load that we took out there. It was kind of a rainy year and mud, and there weren't, of course they had a big political hassle as to where the school should be located, and many of the people wanted it located in Balboa Park, but there was some real estate deal out there, some guy, a big operator that had a lot of land, and he gave a lot of the land to the state college. And as you look down now, it was terrible in Balboa Park with that number of students.
Yeah, oh yeah, it would have been bad.
You know, so as it turned out, it was fine, but the transportation and everything out there at the time was really
nothing,
you know.
Nothing but really all crumble.
Yeah. So I had transferred out from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'd gone to a small college in McAllister College at St. Paul.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I came out here a year and a half to the old college, and then half a year out here.
What made you come out to San Diego?
Well, my folks, part of my family had moved out. I had two older sisters had come out, and one of them was a teacher. The other one worked for a legal firm in Los Angeles. And then my mother, and I had one younger sister, my mother and the younger sister moved out while I was going to McAllister. Mm-hmm. And so I had some brothers and sisters living back east yet, but my sister, who had finished or taken some graduate work at State College, thought, well, if you're going into teaching or coaching, which I was thinking about, why, the pay is better, it's out here. So she kind of influenced me.
Nice to come out. Weather.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. It gets pretty cold in Minnesota.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Where did your family live when they moved out here?
My family lived in Los Angeles.
Okay, so you...
And so I just came down here, but my sister had taken some work at State College, and there was a professor out there that she knew, and so she thought that was, and I'm glad I came to San Diego rather than Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I came down here, but I was on my own down here. I didn't have any family down here at the time.
Did you live near the campus, or?
Well, I'll tell you, you see, they didn't have any campus facilities out there at all at the beginning, and neither did they have the old place, so I rented a room, a board and room near the El Cajon and near Adams and Park Boulevard, and lived there for, a semester or so. And then I needed the job, and you know, I badly to go to school, so there was a family out here in Pacific Beach that had a boy who had started school and he had had an accident in the chemistry lab and almost destroyed his sight.
Oh.
And so, he wanted to continue school, and so they were looking for some college student who would read to him, see, and help him with his studies so that he could continue. And so I moved in with them and lived out there and helped him with his work and did my own too. But it was tough traveling back and forth, you see, from Pacific Beach over to the new college. Of course, it had been impossible out at the new campus, but over there at Park Boulevard and El Cajon, there were other kids from Pacific Beach going to school, and I didn't have an automobile, of course, but one semester I traveled back and forth with a guy on the back of a motorcycle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To the classes.
It would have been, yeah, because there was no freeway, going from Pacific Beach to...
You could get downtown and then out by the streetcar, you know. They had a streetcar running down, but it would be a long way.
That was enough.
But then I was interested in athletics, so of course my first year as a transfer, I was ineligible, say, for basketball sport. But when I became eligible the second year, then I quit the job because I couldn't do both, and so I went out for the basketball team.
So did you support yourself by that?
Yeah, yeah. Although my sister, my last semester, I worked all the time, but the last semester, my sister who was teaching in Escondido said, why don't you take a semester off from work, and I'll give you, I've forgotten now, she gave me $35 a month or something like that. In those days, it was awfully cheap. So
yeah.
I had joined a fraternity, and they had a fraternity house at 56 Madams, just a private home that they had rented. And
what
so
fraternity?
It was Kappa Phi Sigma. At that time, that was it's Tau Delta something now. They've changed all
those. TKE?
You know.
Is it a...
TKE. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's it?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, they just got kicked off campus the other day.
I read something about that.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. I really have had no connection with the national fraternity since they went national. At that time, they were all local fraternities, you know. But we had this big house there for one semester, and I really enjoyed it, living there. Going on.
So you played basketball for school?
Yeah, I played basketball.
For how many years?
Well, just the one
just
year.
Just the one year,
yeah. But I was fortunate. I got in and playing regular, and we had a fair team. We weren't nothing compared to that they are today, but it was a lot of fun. And then I went out for baseball in the spring, too, although I didn't play too much because my eyes were not the best. So, but basketball was my favorite.
Did you get any financial support from any of the New Deal programs? Or?
No, it didn't. Really, the New Deal program, you see,
just
in 31,
after that,
they were
just,
it was didn't start till after that.
Just after that, so.
Yeah. So, so I didn't get any, but the only financial support was that last semester, I guess, from my sister. And, you know, in those days, I think that's about what we paid for board and room, for a month.
$35?
Or about 35 bucks a month.
Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah.
What kind of jobs, other than the job you had in Pacific Beach, did you hold while you were in college?
Well, that job was for my board and room.
Yeah.
And just reading. I did all the reading for him. He was a science student, by the way, and entirely different from mine. I had majored in history and physical education. I had two majors and then education, of course. So I had to do an awful lot of reading, for him, because he couldn't do any. But he was a very smart kid, and he got through that, that year. But I had to quit because going out to for basketball, I couldn't do it, and then he had to get somebody else. But it was an interesting job, reading.
Did he?
He finished, and he was a real talented kid. But he's been a problem. His mother was. His dad had died, and his mother was the secretary for the headmaster over at the Army Navy Academy on Pacific Beach.
Oh.
And she was a real fine lady. But this accident had kind of affected the kid, and he was oh, he was doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, for example. And he was a real smart kid, but he built a homemade bomb, for example, and put it under the front porch of the headmaster's home and blew part of the porch off and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
He was doing that kind of stuff. And he was a good kid, basically, but this accident, you see, affected him. And in fact, I came home one day and earlier than usual, and he had a whole thing set up on the kitchen stove. He was making alcohol, and he was making this illegal alcohol and selling it to the kids around the neighborhood. And so before his mother came home in the afternoon, and I just happened to catch it. He didn't say anything to me, but he knew it. And he'd throw perfume and powder around, take the stuff on, take the smell off of it. I talked to him. I finally got him to quit that kind of stuff because he was going to get himself in real trouble. But he went on, and he was a great musician. He was smart in science, but he wanted to be a doctor because his father had been a doctor. But when he had this accident, there was no chance.
Yeah.
And he was a great artist. He could draw anything. And he, I don't know whether he ever finished school, but he went to work for some big department store in Chicago.
Oh.
And he was drawing up and making their displays, you know, in front of the windows and so on. He had a really successful career. I lost track of him years after, but for a number of years I kept track of what he was doing.
That's pretty
In a way, I was kind of sorry I had to quit because it was a good job. And she was a very nice lady, and the kid turned out all right.
What did you do for fun while you were in college?
We had.
Did you attend a lot of parties?
A lot of fraternity parties and stuff like that. And we had poker games in the house with a lot of the alumni coming back and so on. It was. In fact, the matter is, after I got out, I went back for years and to meetings. They're not serious meetings, but, you know, gatherings at the fraternity house and poker games and all that kind of stuff. And so it was a lot of stuff right there at the fraternity house, really.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's kind of, that's, let me see here. What person do you think at San Diego State, what's the biggest influence on you?
Well, we had this professor that my sister had known, and I came out here, you know, at the end of 2 years as a transfer student, and I had intended to be a forest ranger, and so I'd taken quite a few courses on that, and when I came out here, it changed entirely. But I only had the 2 years, and I needed to get out and work because I didn't have any financial support, so this fellow Broom, Professor Broom, he was a top in the education department. He was very strong in statistics and things of this nature. So I don't think I'd ever got out with the degree that I needed in 2 years, you see, because of the transfer and change in major and so on. So he in that 2 years and a summer school, he got me through with all the requirements necessary for a history major, a physical education major, and education major, the three. And then there weren't any jobs open. You know, just absolutely nobody being hired. And so he talked me into it and got me enrolled in two sessions of summer school at the end of 31. And I got an elementary credential.
Wow.
In two sessions. And he did it. He was able to do this by, he was really smart and knew his requirements and all these things. And so at the end of the summer, I was able to get a job in an elementary school in National City with a degree to see her in elementary credential.
What elementary school though?
I taught out there in Central Elementary School, the one on 8th Avenue.
When I was a little kid, I used to go to Palmer Way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I did out there. Of course, there I was lucky, too, because my sister, who had been teaching back in North Dakota and then came out here in Minnesota, the superintendent of schools in the elementary school in National City was a fellow by the name of Gibbons. And he really, I don't know whether I'd have gotten the job if I hadn't had this connection. Mm-hmm. And so he got me, he put me to work there, and I taught fifth or sixth grade in the morning, and then I supervised the elementary school physical education program for the five elementary schools. There was one in Lincoln Acres, and there was one in Garfield, they called it, I think.
Garfield, yeah.
Yeah, up at on 16th Street, and there was one down in the Mexican district at that time they called it. I don't know what the name of the school was, but so I taught fifth to sixth grade at Central's in the morning, and then I went out and supervised the physical education program in the rest of the elementary school, set up a program for the teachers and so on.
So you were able to you were able to find a job. That's one of my big questions is,
it was tough finding jobs. There were in the big San Diego district, I knew of only one hire that they made in that year when I graduated. Fellow that I later on came to know real well, got a job. But what they were doing is really the jobs were so scarce that they were putting people on half time. Mm. They could hire two people for one job.
So
and of course the salaries were really low too. I started down in National City and I was making $1,500 a year. 3 years later, when the Depression really came in, I was getting back down to 12. All the teachers were taking $1,200 a year.
But was that a pretty livable wage?
Yes, it was. It was. We lived, I lived out there for a year or two, room and board with a minister and his family. Mm-hmm. And they had a big two-story house, and a friend of mine and I, two of us, rented a room upstairs, and we ate our meals with the family and so on. And I don't think it cost us over $30 or $35 a month, you see, for a board and room. And then later on, the last year, three of us rented an apartment out there. And there was an apartment house close to downtown, and we rented that, and it was very reasonable, too. I've forgotten about that. You know, rentals were at that time around $30, $35 a month. Yeah, so three of us rented it.
What do you think, getting a degree, you know, do you think that helped you out more in finding a job? More than if you would have just gone into a career right out of high school?
Oh, it was, during the depths of depression, we'll say 34, 35, 36, to that area, there were just thousands of people out of work, you know. They had all these government programs, the WPA, you know, for people who were out of work, and the Civilian Conservation Corps, you know, CCC, yeah. They put them to work up in the mountains and clearing the woods and building roads and so on. It was just almost impossible to get a job, you know, unless you had some real training in that. You know.
Oh.
And many of the teachers were, you know, had to do something else because they couldn't get a job.
So you definitely think getting a degree.
Oh, no question.
No question about it.
No question about it at all at that time. And even though there were many of them who didn't get jobs, later on, the fact that they had the background so they could teach, they got jobs sooner or later.
Yeah.
But it was tough for about 6-7 years.
So did you stay in teaching?
I taught down in National City for 3 years. And they had tenure. I mean, of course, they have tenure now, but they just passed that law, and these districts that were in bad shape financially, and National City, as you know, was pretty poor, they weren't hiring anybody after the third year, because after the third year, they were going up tenure.
Tenure, yeah.
And so they just, the superintendent, who I knew real well, said to me, you better go out and get a job someplace else. Now, they were technically trying to avoid the law because they'd have you resign and then rehire you. But really, they didn't know whether that would hold up in courts or anything. So he had told me, he said, you better get a job. And he said, if If you can't find one, why, we'll consider maybe hiring you on a basis of year to year. But they didn't want to do it because they didn't think it was that. So I went, I remember going down the Imperial Valley, and it was really hot down there, and went out in the farm area, and there was an old farmer who was on the Board of Education, put off his tractor and had an interview right out there in the field. And I went up to, I remember making another call up at Paris, you know, near Riverside, trying to go any place to find a job. But I was really lucky again. The city schools gave me a job in teaching. And they had out there in Nashville City a whole lot of Mexican kids, you know, mm-hmm. and many of them weren't very proficient in English and so on. But I had had experience with that type of a situation. And so the elementary superintendent in San Diego said, called me up one time and come in for an interview, and they had a job down here in Fremont, which is in Old Town, elementary school in Old Town. And they had a situation there where they had a whole bunch of these kids, Mexican kids, too, of background. And they weren't promoting them, some of them. They didn't have the social promotion. So they had a situation there where they had a lot of trouble, and three or four teachers went out because they couldn't handle the kids and so on. And so they had a kind of a special room set up for lower level kids, and they would go to regular school in the morning, mm-hmm. and then they'd go into a shop in the afternoon and just keep them. And some of them were 15 years old, 16 years old. See? And they had run a couple teachers out, really.
Yeah.
See? So when that's why I think I got the interview, and he said, do you think that you can handle those kids? He said, you've been out there in Nashville City for 3 years. I said, I don't have any questions about how I can handle them. I'll get along with them. I said, I'm no shop man, though. He said, we don't care if you know anything about shop, but can you take them in the afternoon and take care of them? So I said, yes, I can. So I went down there, and I was down there 2 years. I had a little trouble with some of them, but it worked out all right. So I was down there in Fremont 2 years, and then I moved out to Brooklyn School, out at 30th and B Street, or 28th and B.
Is that still Brooklyn?
Yeah,
Brooklyn. Okay, that sounds real familiar.
Yeah. So I was out there, and then for two more years. So I had four years in the elementary school. Now, all the time, I was trying to get into high school, you know, because mm-hmm. I was interested in teaching history, and I was interested in coaching. And so after that 7 years in the elementary school, I got a job up at San Diego High School.
Oh, okay.
And I taught up there, taught history, and at the end of, and helped, assisted in basketball, and at the end of 2 years, the basketball coach left, so I took over as head basketball coach and still taught history. I was there, I went up there in 38, and I was there until 56. I had about 18 years at San Diego High School, and then I went over to City College.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I taught at City College. I didn't teach history. I went over there as a basketball coach and athletic director at City College. And I was there for 7 years, and then I went out to Mesa, when Mesa College started. Went out there in 63, and I was there for 10 years. So I had 42 years teaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and you, that was going to be one of my questions. Did you ever get to coach at a college level? And you did.
That's I coached basketball for 4 years at San Diego City, and then I had the job of basketball coach and athletic director and head of the physical education, men and women, and it was just too much. So we brought in another basketball coach, and so then I continued as the athletic director there for 3 more years, and then moved out to Mesa College as the athletic director. And I went out there, they had a combination job, assistant dean of students and athletic director at Mesa. So at the end of, I retired from Mesa College.
When did City College get built? I mean, when was that?
Well, City College...
I've taken courses there.
Yeah, City College... I left San Diego High School in 56. At City College was holding classes at the San Diego campus. They combined. They didn't build a City College across the street from San Diego High School until about 19... When I went over there to build, about 1954, 5,
oh, something like that. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
What were your general feelings towards the New Deal in general? What did you think?
Well, I was very much in favor of it, of course. I think it saved the country, really, at that time.
You think it would have pulled the country out even if we wouldn't have gone to war?
Well, there's always been a question that, of course, that the Depression and so on lasted and the war sure did. But what I say is that... I don't know. I'm not an expert in economics. That's one of those things that's hard to ask. The only thing I say is that something had to be done, and
they did
the job to keep people working and keep people with their head above the water for a long period of time. I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't had these programs that the New Deal put in. I just don't know.
Yeah,
because they were just thousands, and they did some great WDA projects. They have these stories about guys leaning on the shovel and not doing anything. But I tell you, they did a lot of. They built that wall around Balboa Stadium. I remember they improved the stadium. They did all kinds of work on the roads and bridges, and they had civilian conservation corps that put young kids to work. In the mountains, and I think it was absolutely essential. And I know that there's some question of whether that brought us out of the Depression or whether actually the war did.
Do you think that even if there would have been a war, do you think that
it would have changed.
You think things would have gotten better?
Yeah, I'm convinced about that. The country goes through these things.
Yeah, that's true.
They come out of it. Eventually.
What do you think? I mean, the comparison. I mean, there is really no comparison between today's economic conditions and the Depression. But do you see any of the same kind of trends happening?
Well, I do. In a way, it's not nearly as severe. It's not nearly as severe. But you look at the unemployment rates now, from 7 to 8%, and sometimes as high as 10. And I think it's beginning to improve. And I really don't know what the solution is. The experts don't disagree so much.
I don't think they know either.
They don't know either. You know, it's just one of those things that countries go through. Period. And of course it is serious. And I think the most serious thing is we're losing all the high-paying manufacturing jobs that we're getting.
Steel.
They talk about thousands of new jobs have been created, but they're all service jobs.
Yeah.
Part-time, and they're low-wage jobs. So I don't know what the long-term solution will be. But, of course, I'm kind of an optimist. I see these things and live through them where, at the time, they're awfully discouraging. You wonder whether they're ever going to make it, and then they change.
So you don't really see it. The severity of it isn't. You
no.
don't think it'll ever get as bad as it was.
No, I don't think it'll ever get as bad as it was.
What do you think when you were at your last year at San Diego State? Was the quality of education going down? Do you think, or was it starting to?
I don't really think that it's changed much. In other words, I was impressed with the college courses, and I was there, and I've taken a lot of graduate work, and I was never sold very much on a lot of these education courses.
Yeah.
But as far as other courses are concerned, I think that the instruction at State College and the history department out there was great when I was there, and physical education department, I have no criticism, and I've gone to other schools like USC. I took my master's at USC because state at that time wasn't offering any master program. And I've taken classes back at Columbia and some at Pomona, and I've been impressed, always impressed with it. The only thing I'd say, I took some education courses that I thought were
kind of weak,
you know, awfully weak. But I don't know what they're improving, you know, I'm not closely connected.
So it kind of, for the time, San Diego State was a comparable university with all those other.
Oh, I think it was great. Of course, I went to the small school in McAllister for 2 years, and it was of course, it wasn't much smaller than the state was when I went there,
yeah.
You know. And I have the impression if I had a son or a daughter going to school, I'd like to have them go to a smaller school.
I wish I was going to a smaller school.
You know, I get the impression, and I've had a granddaughter that attended a few classes out of state, and you know, this hassle of getting what you need,
yeah.
And so on, I just read about it, I don't know, but I can imagine what it is, that it doesn't seem to me that it's really serving the purpose of many of them at the present time, when they have to go maybe 6 years to complete their degree,
Yeah, it's about five.
And maybe I'm prejudiced too, but I think actually there are not enough of the students taking advantage of lower division work in the junior college.
The I transfer, that's what I did.
Why not? You get the same thing. If you get good counseling, you get the same. And as far as the instruction is concerned, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've been very much impressed with
the
instruction in the junior college compared with the four-year school.
2 years, you can get 60 units, and you're a junior.
60 units, yeah. You're a junior.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. My mom, I was going to go straight to state, and she told me, thought she had done the same thing, and she said, you know, for the money you're spending, the time you're spending, you're better off at a junior college.
Oh, there's no question about it in my mind.
Yeah, the freshman at a...
And it had, it's sort of, I think more and more kids are realizing this. It used to be that they used to think that junior college was kind of dumping ground for kids who couldn't go on to the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true anymore. I've seen these students at City and Mesa. They're just as strong, I guess, the average may not be as good, but they have some real outstanding students there that get the same thing there.
And if more students attended the junior colleges, then the quality of education would go up because of the competition.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree. I think the junior college system is definitely an answer for people who can't get their classes. Experience, as far as your experiences at City goes, what were a couple that just really stand out in your mind, these things that...
Well, I don't know. I just enjoyed the whole picture. I had a kind of a funny experience at State College. We had the first year. As I say, the first semester we were out there, and all the buildings were new, and we had a president by the name of Harding. And he was an old-timer, near retirement age, but real nice fellow. And he was so proud of those buildings out there. I remember one time I was standing in the hall of one of the two buildings out there, and talking to two or three friends of mine, and without even thinking, I had my foot up against the wall, you know. And Dr. Harding came by and he said, "Young man, what's your name?" And so I gave my name, didn't know anyone. He said, "You're suspended for all classes for 1 day." He said, "You got your foot up against this new clean wall." He said, "I want you to think about taking better care of the facilities around you." So, of course, he would have no way of knowing, but I just stayed off the campus for a day, you know. But I enjoyed the athletics, of course, at State College very much. I had a fellow by the name of Gross that was coaching there, and he was a real nice fellow to play for. And then I went out for baseball, and even though I didn't play too much, Charlie Smith. I had some real fine teachers out there too. There were probably the name of Leonard, the top political science, Leslie, the history, And I had another history prof by the name of Dr. Master Terry. He just died here.
That's to the name of Master Hall. Yeah.
And I have kind of an interesting experience with him. He was an Orthodox Jew, you know, neo-Orthodox. And he was there as an advisor to our fraternity. So I got to know him real well after I got out of school, as being the advisor. And so one summer, his field was in Latin American relations and Latin American history. So, and his wife was a substitute down at San Diego High School, so I knew her too. So one summer, he wanted to take a trip across the United States, especially down in the Southwest, where they had the Spanish background. Mm-hmm. And so he and a fellow by the name of John Butler, who was a well-known, later on he was mayor of San Diego. He had gone to State College and graduated, and he was a fraternity brother of mine. So the three of us decided, but through Dr. Nasseter's influence, wanted to take this trip across the United States, and he was going to drive his car. And so we said, fine. We were both single, mm-hmm. Butler and myself. So Nasseter was a well-known instructor out there, and so we thought, well, it'd be a great experience. So we took off, and we spent 6 weeks driving all the way around the United States, and we stopped at these various places that Doc wanted to investigate in the Southwest area, and we didn't know quite what we were getting into because it was his car, and strict Orthodox Jews, they don't do anything from sundown Friday night till sundown Saturday night. And so we were young at that time, he was a little older. We wanted to get into some place where we could get out and do something.
Yeah.
So, but we planned trips so that we'd get into some fairly good sized town by sundown Friday, and Doc would go through all the, we'd put on a vest and all these things. But another thing, he wouldn't spend any money, he wouldn't carry any money with him during that day, you know. So we had to, we had to find all these kosher restaurants too, all of them. And then we'd have to plan, if he were going to a movie or something, we'd have to arrange to pay the price before he got there, you know?
Yeah.
And we did that, but it was a real interesting experience, and he was an interesting guy to travel with because he knew about these places, especially down in the southern states. But we went all the way back to New York and New England and come back across the northern part. So it was interesting with his State College connection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably one of the outstanding experiences we had as a result of State College, you know.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. I would, that'd be kind of neat to take a trip somewhere with a professor.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange to you. You guys were that close to a professor actually take a trip.
Well, it was fortunate, and then it was rather unusual because I don't know whether these fraternities now have profs as advisors or anything, but I had been out of school. This was a number of years after I graduated, you see, that we did this. So, in fact, the matter is that I went to his services about a year ago when he passed away.
He must have still been alive then when they named the hall after him.
Yeah, that's
quite a while.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, he was alive when they named it. In fact, there was a big ceremony out there, and I wanted to go to it. And I think it was the time they dedicated this thing to him. He was within, but I didn't get a chance to know him.
Did you know Mrs. Storm?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
I had one of her, well, she was young then, I'd say, in the 30s.
She's still around.
Yeah, I haven't seen her, but I've read about her. Oh, yeah, she taught geography, of course, and a very, very interesting person. Yeah, I enjoyed the class.
Yeah, most people seem to remember her
quite
well.
Yeah, she was an interesting teacher. And with the history major, I don't know whether it was a required course, but it kind of
little of a bridge.
To make it feel like it's here. Yeah. Well, they had some clients. They had a fellow by the name, as I mentioned, by the name of Leonard, who was a political science teacher. And he was a tough old guy, interesting to listen to. But I remember I had a problem with him because I was playing basketball that year and I was taking the class. And so I knew I'd missed a couple of classes. So I went up to them beforehand and said, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to be out of town on a basketball trip and they were in class. And he was a grapple guy. He said, so what? He said, you're either here or you're not here, something like that. But he wasn't as tough as he acted, but he was a real science prof, too. Yeah.
I don't really have any more questions. Is there anything, you know, if you have anything that comes to mind, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I don't know too much about what would be fit into the thing there. I really, over the years, enjoyed the teaching. I even though I didn't want to go into the elementary school to begin with, I enjoyed it. And then when I went up to San Diego High School was a great school and it had a real fine faculty, and I was fortunate that at the end of 2 years I was interested in history and I taught history all the time I was there. But I also was interested in coaching, so I had the basketball head coaching job. And then high school teaching got kind of rough, you know, down there in San Diego High School in the inner city. And fortunately, again, this opening of Virginia College came, and it was just about the time when I was ready for a move and wanted to move. And then the junior college was a great experience again, you know, because it was a different. You didn't have a discipline problem.
Yeah, because they were there.
You know, and I happened to get into as an athletic director, and we had a real good staff who was sitting in Mason. Was lucky that Mason opened. I went out there. Actually, I went out there a semester before we got on the campus. We had our classes on the Kearney High School campus from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 10 at night. That's when we were running the junior college classes. So we were located in a little bungalow out there and didn't have an athletic program, but I was planning the facilities and so on at across the street at Mesa. And with assistant dean of students at that time, so it was kind of I was trying to coordinate to get the kids in college to not to interfere too much with the high school program, you see, and it was a little problem, but that only lasted a semester, and then we moved it over to the new campus in the middle of the year again. And so I had a lot of interesting experiences, you know, from the elementary to the high school to the junior college, and I didn't have the, I would hate to be teaching in some situation today.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as pleasant, I don't think.
I was a TA for a while, and it was rough.
It's rough. It's rough. Depending on where are you teaching, I know the history classes from I taught at San Diego High School. I enjoyed it. They had them separated X, Y, and Z. The X students were very good, and the average, and then you taught. But we always had the one or two classes of each kind, you know, mm-hmm. so good to change. So I like San Diego High School, was great, but I wouldn't think I'd care to be there today. You know,
no, like, it's a rough area.
Although I had a lot of minority kids, you know, a lot of black players, and I can't say enough about them. They were great. And as far as competitors are concerned, Hamlin is concerned, never had a different problem. But I know that it's not quite the same.
No. Yeah, that area is not really. Mm-hmm. What area of history did you teach?
I taught U.S. history.
U.S. history.
U.S. history.
Did they have a different...
They had world history.
Yeah.
And I had a couple good friends of mine teaching world history, and then they... We had U.S. history, of course, the year course of the junior was required. I don't know what it is now, but all of it, when I taught, sophomore year, U.S. history in the junior year, and then the senior year we had all the different social problems and different types
yeah.
of
things. That's kind of weird. That's almost how it is now, the same way.
It's the same way now?
Yeah. They yeah. sophomore, junior, and senior, you take a government class.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Something like
that. And once in a while I'd have a government class. I enjoyed that very much. But I like the U.S. history and the kids you had, even though they were all required to take it. And some of them were a bit interested in
it. Yeah.
Still, I don't know. I like no. Well, I did too. I think we had some really interesting instructors. We had this guy Leslie out there who taught. Well, he taught, I forgot what the course was, but he had to do with a lot of modern European history, you know. He was an excellent instructor, you know, a really fine lecturer. So, you know, some of them are good instructors, but they're not really great lecturers.
Yeah.
But he was.
That's kind of strange. This is before World War II and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's and it was really interesting. An interesting period.
Yeah, that's mainly where most of my period of study is World War II.
Yeah.
That's just kind of weird thinking.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened yet.
No. That's right. Now that's a period that he taught. Of course, I've forgotten what it was called. It may have been World War II or so forth, but that's the era of the cousin, and he was awfully good.
Well, I think that'll about do it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're welcome. Nice to talk to you.